Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, Chet Cameron and John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP as we broadcast today from Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia's Chickies and Pete's. We love being here. Obviously, this place jumping year-round, but in particular during Red October. And, of course, you can join us today. Huge show on tap. It'll include Jason Kelce from 7:30 to 8:30. It'll include Rob Thompson at 8 o'clock, a station announcement with a special guest at 8:40 today, and other guests mix in. Also, let me tell you, Chickies and Pete's, of course, the spot for Red October, not only this rally, but all month. Enjoy the new Kelce combo at Chickies, created by Jason. It includes crab fries, a barbecue burger, and garage beer. By the way, we are at the Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. All right, let's welcome in our first, I was going to say guest, but he's really not a guest. He's a guest host with us. You know, he's on just about once a week, and we love every time he's here, particularly when it's Red October. Mr. Ben Davis. Good morning, Ben.
Top of the morning to you.
And Delco to you, sir.
Oh, no!
And Delco to you!
Wow.
And I mean that as a compliment.
I know. It's unbelievable.
You know, that actually
really
works.
Do you not know it now? Guys, every week, every time Ben's on?
All right, hold on. Top of the morning to you and the rest of the day to you, sir?
Yes.
Close enough. Well, yes. Rest of the day to yourself.
Is what it is. To yourself. All right.
Pretty good, though.
I'm mighty.
But he still didn't get it.
No, I didn't get it.
No, he didn't.
Well, one, I don't remember. Two, I don't care. But I enjoy it.
Wow, you didn't need the second part.
No, but I do enjoy it.
I think two's the key part to that whole thing, really.
I really enjoy it. I just, all right, Ben.
You just don't care.
I honestly don't.
I love it. I mean, just don't want to do it.
No, you know? No, I didn't say I don't want to do it. I just said I don't care. All right, Ben.
Well, he's honest.
Ben, I do care about the... I actually enjoy when you say it. I really do. I'm not dissuading you from saying it. So, Ben, I really care about the Phillies. How pumped up are you?
I'm excited. James said, he goes, you ready? You ready? And I said, I'm anxious. Yeah. You know, this is a long time off, and, you know, hopefully it doesn't detract them from their ultimate goal, but I'm just anxious. I just want to get going.
That doesn't seem very confident, Ben. Like, I think, based on your demeanor, you know, maybe because it's early or whatever, like, you're not brimming with positivity,
no,
overflowing with confidence about winning.
100% confident. I just want to get playing.
You're anxious to start.
Yes.
By the way, Ben, you shouldn't be 100% confident. I mean, there are other great teams.
There are, but I'm supremely confident in this
one.
Wow.
Okay, why? I'm thrilled to hear that, but why?
Their rotation, their professionalism, and their how they adapt, and I think this offense has something to prove. I think they're still ticked off from what happened last year in the desert, and then coming back here with two games in hand and laying an egg. I think they're still ticked off about it.
Well, they should be. And I'm certain you're right. I mean, that was a brutal loss.
Yeah.
Look,
they want revenge.
You only get so many shots in life, John. You had a couple, obviously, as a player with the Raiders and the Eagles. I think you had five, right, if I'm remembering that right, where you were, like, right there.
Now, five.
Like, championship
good chance
game
for a championship.
NFC. Yeah. Yeah, NFC,
now, the fifth
AFC.
One, you were out. 0-4 Eagles, you were injured. But, I mean, yeah. You had three with the Raiders and two with the Eagles as part of the roster, let's say.
Sure, yeah. Conference championships.
Yeah. And, you know, and I say this, and I swear to God I mean this with no disrespect, you live life without a Super Bowl ring. Like, you came close, but you didn't win.
I live life with two runner-up rings.
Yeah.
And which one is, that I didn't even play for because I was on IR for.
What would a Super Bowl have meant to you if you can?
Well, that's the ultimate
in the moment
goal.
Or as an adult looking back, like, what would it have meant for you?
I mean, of course, that's why you end up doing it. You don't realize it necessarily how important that is until it's so far gone and it's so far done. And it's such a shame that I think I didn't realize that I could have, I don't know, pushed myself somehow.
Yeah, it wasn't
more.
Your fault. I'll say that. You know what?
I think about it every day,
well,
Joe.
Do you really?
Every day.
Wow.
I think
really?
About how could I have done better. You know, like, maybe there was something. But then I also think, on the other side, now with everything that we know, maybe I would have done myself in.
Yeah. So I'll say this. I am struck by, and John, you're describing the experience of a, you know, slightly above average pro football player. I am convinced Bryce Harper thinks about it constantly.
Every second.
You know, and not just him. I think most of the true stars in America, the quarterbacks, the star players in baseball and basketball that haven't won a title, they know it because it's said to them a ton. John, it wasn't said to you much by the media but the Charles Barkleys, the Dan Marinos, the Patrick Ewings.
And it stays with
the
them.
The Barry Bonds.
It stays with them forever.
We mentioned it with Barkley. Their identity.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think particularly bringing up Bryce Harper, I don't ever remember a baseball player, certainly on my team that I watch every day, who cared so much about his legacy.
I know.
The history of the game. Like, we hear him in the booth when he's on. And he's like, he's a baseball nerd, this guy.
Well, and I
think it really matters to him, even on a different level than other stars.
James, I agree. And I'll say this. With him being a student of history, I think he knows
totally
that most of the greatest baseball players ever did win a World Series.
Yep.
Most of them.
And he'll be judged on that.
Yeah, I mean, if you really think about it, who were the true greats that didn't? Obviously,
Ted Williams,
Ernie Banks,
Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds, yeah.
But, like, think about those that did. Like, if you just said, who are the top 15 players in baseball, these guys would be in it, and these guys won it. Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, you're going to talk about Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, you're going to talk about Ty Cobb. I mean, I'm talking Lou Gehrig, like the Stan Musial, like the best players generally won the World Series. And Ben, I think he is tremendously driven to try to join both groups, all-time greatest players and the group that won a title.
And why wouldn't you be? Why would you not want to be considered one of those top players that you just mentioned?
Right.
And if you don't win one of those, it's going to be a mark on him for the rest of his life.
Especially when you're such a gigantic baseball nerd.
Yeah.
Such a baseball
nerd. Right,
it matters so much.
Let's get some calls in here. It's Red October. Obviously, you can comment on the Eagles as well if you want to, you know, react to what Jaw said last segment when we played that audio. And just, you know, the whole kind of dynamic in play with the Eagles right now. Let's go to Jesse in Springfield. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, and rest in peace, Atlanta Braves.
That's great. By the way, they don't have to rest in peace. They can rest in stew. It can rest in mire, for all I care. Matter of fact, the grave site should be robbed.
Jeez, Joe.
Like grave,
they're the Braves.
Grave robbers pilfer them.
Like, what happened to Lincoln? But I didn't recommend that.
This went
on
in
the
a very
front.
Strange that's, direction.
Lincoln's that body is, was moved
yeah,
a bunch
dark. Quickly. That's
not,
a little
not
dark.
What I was expecting.
Well, I mean, I got this guy kind of ripping the Braves, but kind of giving him flowers. Rest in peace.
No.
Rest in
hell. Rest in hell. Rest in hell, Braves. You're out.
In case there was any
don't rest either.
About my intentions here.
Hey, cut that audio, my friend.
Hurts.
Save
right,
it in my drops folder.
Jesse,
rest in hell.
Jesse, I'm sorry. I'm joking around. Go ahead. What do you got?
Well, it's okay. I'm not joking. Last night, my 8-year-old had a nightmare. And to go back to sleep, I tell him, I swear to God, I say, hey, guess who got swept last night? And they're out. Atlanta Braves. He grins ear to ear, goes back to sleep.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Anyway,
it's like a lullaby.
I'm going to go with Cassie.
That's great.
Rojas. And Kathy, I trust, back to an earlier caller, the last two games I've been in attendance, I had a Bryce Harper pinstripe jersey. Kathy was involved in a walk-off win for each. I will be wearing that jersey. Jeez. It is unwashed on Saturday. So I am superstitious. And I think we can handle, like, we just need plate discipline, you know, knock on wood, Kathy.
No, you're not
like,
kidding.
The Mets bullpen is sus. All right, like we got them. And the last thing I wanted to say before you go to the what's red,
yep,
is speaking of people who need to calm down about the Mets, can we all give a standing O to Jack Fritz, like across the Delaware Valley at 2 p.m. today?
Did you see this yesterday?
No,
the
no.
whole afternoon show was the whole show was Jack is terrified of the Mets. He said they'll beat the Phillies, and the whole show was trying to calm Jack down,
God.
Pump Jack up that the Phillies can actually.
So what's the
Mets.
Answer, Fritz? Is he red? I'm trying to understand.
No.
What's the
No, I think he
red?
Was going to get to the red. I think it was
okay.
just that was his last point.
Oh, okay. All right. So what's red, Jesse?
Well, I was going to go with blood, but since I'm headed to a Marine Corps base, I will say that there is a blood stripe in our pants, and we got it in a war in the 19th century that I'll let John look up when
All
I'm
right.
done.
All right. You got it, Jesse. Excellent phone call there, bud. 215-592-9494. All right, big day. It includes being here at Cheekies and Pete's. Jason Kelce will be here coming up in 20 minutes. Kelce for an hour. So Jason Kelce, 7:30 to 8:30, plus Rob Thompson during that at 8 o'clock. We got a lot happening. All the calls as well. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia on 94 WIP.
Hey, John, did you know October is the best time to buy new windows?
No, I did not.
With nicer weather, it is a great time to replace those old, inefficient windows with energy-efficient ones from Window Nation before the cold weather hits. I trust Window Nation in my home, and you should too. And in October, they're giving you a great value. Right now, buy two windows, get two free. There's no limit to how much you could save. Plus, you could save big with no interest or payments for 24 months.
Window Nation's windows come with a lifetime guarantee, and they can be installed in one day or less. Window Nation was also recently ranked highest on Forbes' list of best window insulation companies, so you can trust Window Nation for high-quality, affordable windows. Stop paying more than you have to.
But hurry, sale ends October 31st, so schedule a fast in-home estimate right now at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Well, it is a Red October rally. It's also day Jason Kelce will join us coming up in about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, something like that. 10 to 15 minutes. Kelce at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, which, by the way, is where we're also broadcasting as a radio station until 7:30 tonight. And Chickies and Pete's is your destination. Sure better be for all the postseason action. 215-592-9494. So Kelce soon, Rob Thompson at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock. Obviously, we'll look for, you know, whether he's ready to give answers. Some of these questions that we've got about cleanup and second starter and all that sort of stuff. We'll go through as much of it as we possibly can with Rob Thompson coming up at 8 o'clock. All right, let's go to the phones. We're looking for your enthusiasm, excitement, potentially nervousness. It was a I thought good word Ben said, anxious. You know, anxious is, I'm sure, how, you know, got to be how most of us feel, right? All right, let's go to the phones. Evan right now. Evan, you're on WIP.
Good morning, guys. I want to talk sales, but I want to take a little different angle than beating the Sanchez versus Nola debate to death here.
Yep.
I grew up around the time when the 08, you know, the late aughts, the early 2010s teams were on fire. And I want to talk about how this team, you know, might compare to those teams, and what would it take for this era of Phillies to overtake those guys? Because for me, it's going to take multiple titles. And if you think back to that era, not only was it an offensive juggernaut, but we had great role players that played a tremendous part in winning that title. And I always think back to the Pedro Feliz having the game-winning hit in Game 5.
Yep.
You know, to Jeff Jenkins having a big double. There were a lot of
the only hit Jeff Jenkins had the whole season, but you're right.
The only one that mattered.
Yeah, that's fact. But those mid-season joking. Acquisitions that Pat Gillick was able to make really spurred them on. And to me, just those big moments, you know, Rollins hit the double off Broxton, obviously the Matt Stairs home run, you know, we all remember. And I just think, you know, while those other teams after the title were a little bit of a disappointment as we kind of ramped down from, winning the World Series to losing in the losing the World Series to losing the LCS to losing the Division Series, obviously a disappointment, especially given that those teams, I felt, they were the best team, especially 2011, you know, losing the Furcal leadoff triple or whatever it was, and then the 1-0 game.
Yep.
So, that I mean, that's my take, is that as much as this group seems to connect with the fans a little bit better, you know, some of those guys on those teams, you know, they were a little bit more standoffish. You had Cole Hamels, you know, obviously the Utley moment at the parade kind of went down in history. But I don't feel that team necessarily connected with the fans in the same way. But for me, it's going to take a lot to overtake those guys.
No, I think you said a lot well. I mean, look, I think the Utley moment is generally considered more of a positive than a negative by some. But there were people in the moment that were offended with the F-bomb dropped. But, you know,
And just to be clear, I was 100% for that. I mean, I thought that was awesome.
Look, Utley and Kelsey both did it. I mean, it's like two of the best players ever in Philly sports history dropped an F-bomb in a parade. Evan, give me a great answer. But I think most of what you say makes a lot of sense. And clearly for this era to be viewed, you know, equal to that era, you got to win a championship. And to exceed it, you probably have to win two. I mean, that's pretty much the bottom line.
Or go to the playoffs 6 years and make it, you know.
Yeah,
like,
but 6-5 is going to be about the same. You know, they got to.
They have to win a championship, and then it can be talked about.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Evan, give me something red. What do you got?
Well, I was going to say blood, but I know that's been taken by two callers. I will comment that Bryce Harper probably smells blood in the water more than any other athlete that I can think of. But I'm going to go with the red planet, which is bigger than anything else.
Yeah.
Just about. Which is Mars.
You got it, Evan. Mars is a great answer. All right, speaking of answers, so he was just referencing some of the role players, and they can play a very big role. I mean, let's remember, guys, Eric Bruntlett scored the winning run when the Phillies won the World Series on that Pedro Feliz hit. So that stuff matters. So let's talk about some of the role players for a moment. So, Ben, earlier today, James put together a list of his guess of the 26 players that will be on the postseason roster.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to go through all the names because obviously we know a bunch that will make it. But here's who James thinks will make it. Austin Hayes, who I feel confident will make it. Cody Clements and Weston Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are the hitters that he's got making it. He's got back end, and we know all the starters are going to start pitchers. We know all the main relievers are going to make it. Back end of the bullpen, he's got Jose Ruiz on, Tanner Banks on, Taijuan Walker on. So, and now, James, the pitchers and the players you have off, you have Turnbull off, and I think that's pretty clear based on what Rob Thompson
said
yesterday.
That was the reason I had him off.
And he's got Colby Allard off.
I think that last spot comes down to Colby Allard and Taijuan Walker. I know it sounds crazy, but I think, remember, we had Dombrowski on our show, and he talked about the thing you have to think about is if a game goes 17 innings, there's no...
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time for Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch, Hit, and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Ghost runner games go long. You need someone to pitch. Allard and Walker, they're only two long men. Like, Tyler Gilbert just came up from the minors. Is it going to be Tyler Gilbert? Like, I don't want it to be Taiwan Walker. I just, it's him or Colby Allard for that last spot.
And he pitch better if it's less. Like,
no,
in a bullpen capacity.
I just think
the last time we saw him,
I don't know who else it is in that spot.
The last time we saw him, remember, in the bullpen capacity, it was actually kind of good.
All right, Ben, is James wrong?
Yes.
So you think Colby Allard will be on the roster?
No.
So who's the 12th pitcher?
I think it'll be Turnbull. I know.
You can't go extra innings. You need some. Dombrowski was on our show and said it. We have to be ready if a game goes 17 innings to have someone to pitch extra, pitch 4 or 5 innings in extras. No one on that list can do that.
Turnbull can go a couple innings. He's been stretched out a little bit more.
He went one inning in the Similia game, and Topper was like, I don't know if he's ready.
It wasn't great, but I'm just saying, it's going to be better than Walker or.
All right, let me say this, because in the end, I don't think either of those guys are going to pitch. Like, whoever makes it.
I agree.
Let me tell you what I really like, James, about your roster. I like seeing that you think Cody Clemens and Weston Wilson are going to make it, and here's the real reason. One, I trust them. Two, I want options for Rob Thompson if guys struggle. Like, I'm telling you guys, if Rojas struggles and Austin Hayes isn't hitting, you got to have more nimbleness this year. You got to be ready to juggle stuff around. I will tell you right now, I still think there's a chance, and people think I'm crazy, I think there's a chance if the outfielders are struggling. I mean, I'm telling you, I would do this. I would put Kyle Schwarber in left field if I had to.
They
got to a game 6 of the World Series with Kyle Schwarber playing left field every day. I mean, let me put it this way. I'd rather have some Schwarber defensive deficiencies and a Cody Clemens or Weston Wilson or someone else bats. Sosa's a DH, whatever.
You know,
are you worried at all about the
then 0 for 4 and 0 for 4?
At this point, he does look sprightlier than we've ever seen.
He got hurt playing left field this year. Remember the hamstring thing? That was the game he played in left field.
Here's my point. If I got 0 for 4 in center and 0 for 4 in left, and it's happened two or three games in a row, I have to make a change.
I get your point. I just don't want Kyle Schwarber to get hurt. Like, if he gets hurt, it's over. So,
take a freaking chance. I mean,
I'm just saying, the last time he was in left field, he got hurt.
Okay, and I'm saying the last time we saw Johan Rojas in the playoffs, he couldn't hit the baseball.
I get it.
I mean, forget trying to bunt. He couldn't hit it. It was an achievement if he fouled it off last year.
This is something that I know for sure Rob Thompson has progressed from the last two seasons. Is he stuck with his guys? I think he realizes, I have to make some changes.
Good.
If A isn't working, I got to switch to B.
That's
all right,
good.
Let's listen to Rob Thompson and some of what he said yesterday. By the way, Jason Kelce with us shortly. Rob Thompson in a half an hour at 8 o'clock. Let's listen to Topper yesterday talking about Ranger. So, look, he's obviously not going to start the second game. He's probably not going to start the third game because he hasn't pitched as well lately. But you want him to be good enough to start the fourth game. I mean, that's the objective. Here's Topper after Ranger pitched. How many innings was it yesterday in the simulated game?
Two.
All right, after Ranger pitched in the simulated game, here's Rob Thompson.
Did this Ranger outing ease the concerns you may have had about his command and his readiness for the postseason?
I think so. You never know, but I felt really good about it. And talking to Caleb, he felt the same way. But I had a really good vantage point sitting behind the plate, and it was coming out of his hand really good. Command was there. Talking to the hitters, the movement was there. Curveball was sharp. So, yeah, it eased my mind.
Okay, that's good. Look, I think he's got to start the fourth game, or Wheeler's got to go on short rest. You're only two options. There's no one. And my inclination is Ranger, but it might be a short start. All right, let's get to Rob Thompson and Austin Hayes.
That's a huge deal. Him saying that Ranger is okay.
But it doesn't mean they're out of the woods. He struggled enough that we should be concerned going in.
And he only threw two innings. You know, we don't know what, if he tries to stretch it, all that type of stuff.
All right, let's get to Topper and Austin Hayes. Guys, I'm telling you, like, get ready for Austin Hayes a lot. I know he's barely played since he got here because he got injured a ton and that whole deal. But they acquired him to be an everyday left fielder. Because Rojas and Marsh often struggle, and particularly because Marsh struggles against lefties, he's not an everyday player. He's just not. I'm talking about Marsh, which means that the organization wants Austin Hayes to be an everyday player. Here's Rob Thompson yesterday on the player I think might get every start in left field.
As far as Austin Hayes goes, I mean, obviously he's been off for a long period of time. Do you view him as, I guess, a more of a platoon guy going into the postseason, or do you think he could potentially play every day?
I think he can potentially play every day, to tell you the truth. His bat speed's back, his strength's back. He said he felt really good at running today, so that's the first time in a few days that he's felt that. So, you know, if he's swinging the bat the way we know he can, and I think his at bats against right-hand pitching, the last couple of times he's had them have been better. He's a guy.
Look, I think he's going to get a lot of run in left field.
So one interesting thing, the Brewers have five right-handed starters. Just so that is a, wow. It's an interesting layer to this. The Mets have lefties.
Can I ask you a question, James?
Sure.
If Austin Hayes did not start in left field, who's your left fielder? Who's your center?
No,
fielder?
I think he probably. I think he might. From that audio, I'm just throwing it out there. The whole thing was Austin Hayes against lefties.
But I'm going to ask the question. The question again. If Austin Hayes does not start in left field, who's your left fielder?
Marsh, Shinro, Austin Center. I think those are the options.
That's a disaster.
But again, like I think you, I agree. I don't.
Rojas cannot start against a right-handed pitcher. Can't do it.
I probably would not do it. But again, I do think he is a phenomenal defensive player, and the Phillies do care about defense.
All right, let's go to the phones. And again, you guys know my theory. In that scenario, if Austin Hayes is struggling, and I don't trust Rojas, I am telling you, I would put Schwarber in left field and Marsh in center field, and I would get a better stick off the bench as a DH like Cody Clemens or Weston Wilson or Sosa. That would be my thing. Let's go to the phones. Drew in Westchester. Jason Kelce with us shortly here at Chickies and Pete's. Good morning, Drew.
Hey, good morning, folks. Joe, I know this is probably going to annoy you, but I'm going to go for it to start. Would you like to wish me a happy birthday?
Happy birthday. That doesn't annoy me at all, Drew.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Drew.
Thank you,
now, let's
guys,
not waste the audience's time too much. you got your little happy birthday out there to about a million people listening. Let's get down to the bits.
You don't have to sing.
Every caller should wish Drew a happy birthday. No, I'm kidding.
Drew, go ahead, man.
All right, so look, I'm super pumped for Saturday. I don't want to sound scared, but to Seltzer, that point that he just made, I prefer really not to face the Mets because of that lefty heavy rotation. I think if you face the Brewers, it just makes it a lot easier. It takes a lot of the onus off Topper, where it's a little more set it and forget it with the lineup, like Stott at second, Marsh in left. I think one thing that would be a little tricky for me is, but if you play the Mets, both Stott and Marsh have performed well against the Mets this year. They both have OBPs like above 400 against the Mets. So I just think the Mets really kind of like complicates things for Topper a little bit in terms of the lineup.
Well, also the fan thing. I mean, lineup, I hear you. I mean, I'm telling you, man, it could be a lot of people Saturday and Sunday at Citizens Bank Park wearing blue and orange. A lot.
Yeah, no, the fan thing is real for sure too. The other thing I'll say is, in terms of like the Nola Sanchez stuff. Look, I think game one is. I mean, I don't make a kind of an obvious statement here, but game one is just so important. My gut says Topper is probably making like a predetermined decision, but if things somehow go awry in game one, I think like I need Nola in game two. I can't be down 0-1 and have a guy who's thrown two career innings, you know, starting a must-win game two. So, look, I trust Zach Wheeler to start things off right, but I think that's one thing that Topper also.
Well, Drew, we'll ask him. We're going to ask him in half an hour. Rob Thompson on the show 30 minutes from now. Drew, give me a great answer. What is something red? You can win the Dane Cook tickets.
All right, so I'm going to go to the world of fiction, but there's kind of a loose Phillies tie in. I hope Zach Wheeler and Nola pitch like Cliff Lee in 2009. Clifford, our big red dog.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's about as red as it gets. Might not be as notable as Mars and Blood,
like,
but it's
that
very red.
Was always in doctor waiting rooms for little kids.
100%.
Like the doctor, little
that
kid
and the Berenstain
waiting
Bears,
room.
It felt like
that was there every time.
All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado's EV. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. So we got two different poll questions today. The first, who would you, and we were just, the last caller, Drew, was just saying he'd rather see the Brewers than the Mets. Who would you rather the Phillies play in the NLDS? Is it A, the Brewers, or B, the Mets? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly Wayne on the phone lines as well. Second poll question. This is another big one that needs to be decided by Rob Thompson. We'll ask him about this coming up in 30 minutes. Who should bat cleanup behind Bryce Harper? Three choices, obviously. You're going to have a right-handed stick behind Bryce. All three have gotten it through the years with the opportunity, but it's moved around over the last couple years. Should it be Bohm, Castellanos, or JT Realmuto? Or choice D, apparently, Jason Kelce coming out of retirement to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it. Future NFL Hall of Famer and one of our greats ever in Philadelphia sports. Someone who does know what it means and what it's like to win a championship, Mr. Jason Kelce. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, pal?
How's everyone doing? This is fun.
Listen, this is Red October, man. This is what it's about. Because you know the deal, Jason. You played for a long time. You made the playoffs like a decent amount, but there's only so many chances you get, and some players get zero chances.
Yeah.
With an extremely supreme team.
Yeah.
You had two cracks at a supreme team, 17 and 22.
Yeah.
You guys were top two or three of the NFL and obviously won, 20. These guys have a real shot this year, Jason.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I think, both of those years were really just, magical in a lot of ways for us. And, getting there is so hard, and so many things have to go right. And in football, there's it's one or done, so it's even more heightened. There's not these series that tend to, I think, push the truly who are the better teams forward. A lot of times it's kind of who's the best team on that day, which I really love about the football postseason. There's something about playoff baseball that just resonates so much, I think, with everyone across the country. It's America's pastime.
Yeah.
It's so ingrained in us. And I don't know that there's the playoffs are just fantastic.
Let me give you what it's always reminded me of, Jason. By the way, let me say Jason brought to us as he is today, and of course today at Chickies and Pete's, and with us for the next hour, Jason brought to us by his beer, Garage Beer. The Garage, always open, light beer like it used to be. Find Garage Beer at your local retailer or at drinkgaragebeer.com. That's drinkgaragebeer.com, official beer of the Kelce brothers and dads everywhere. Jason, here's what playoff baseball has always reminded me of. Popping champagne. And here's why. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pressure when champagne gets popped. And for a long time, sometimes years, it doesn't get popped at all. A baseball season is long.
Yeah.
It is not like football where we get, for many years, 16 games or now 17. And Sunday is, once a week. We're hardcore baseball, but there's a lot of people I'll check out an inning. I'll check them out next week. I'll be away on vacation. Baseball,
for sure.
When you get to the postseason, it goes from being very relaxed to very not relaxed very quickly.
For sure.
And I love that about postseason baseball.
Of course, and especially here. The bank, it's been just absolutely, bedlam, whatever they've been.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's renowned. Multiple people, when I've been out, they're what is it like truly in the postseason in Philadelphia? And, it's special down there. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I grew up an Indians fan or Guardians fan, and it was just such a we were really good in the 90s. Charlie Manuel and a lot of people that ended up coming to the Phillies after that.
Yes, right.
Who I grew up with, and it was just there's something about playoff baseball when it's really clicking that it just invigorates and takes hold of a city in a completely different way.
Jason, speaking of playoffs, we'd sure love to have a playoff football team, and a lot of people teetering now. So we had a poll earlier this week, 61% saying not a playoff team. Look, time will tell, but give me your sense of your concern now with how the team looks. I mean, I know no one cares more than you do.
Yeah.
But man, it's been pretty rough out of the gate.
Yeah, it's been rough. It's been up and down. I mean, they're 2-2. Both sides of the ball have showed times of playing really good football, and both sides of the ball have shown times of playing really bad. And I think this past game they're really bad on both sides. Offensively, missing their two best perimeter players, that hurts, especially when you're playing a defensive coordinator like Todd, who, he's not going to let you go in and be one-dimensional. I know everybody's hand the ball off to Saquon. I think it's going to be very, very hard, especially given what he was doing up front. And I think it's difficult going up to a a place where you've struggled without horses on the outside and trying to have success. That being said, they should have done better than they did.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of it. Like, it was like 0 to 255 yards at one point. Like, that's an embarrassment, right? And they're going to be hard at work to fix that. And then defensively, you know, it's just so crazy seeing the two extremes of what happened against the Saints and then what happened against Tampa Bay. And I guess the one positive to look at would be, you know, if they can do that to the Saints, they have some really good pieces there, because I don't think you can do that to an opposing offense without having good players. But just a really, really just – it was really hard to watch, to be honest with you.
Jason, why does it feel like Kellen Moore – in the offense haven't held to the standard of change that we saw in week one? What I mean by that is week one, we were seeing more pre-snap motion. We were seeing more Jalen under center. And now it feels like over the course of the first month of the season, the offense has sort of reverted back to, you know, less of that stuff.
Sure.
And more simplicity and more stagnance.
I think that
yeah,
stagnation.
Yeah,
maybe
either one.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's the important part. Yeah,
that is the important part.
I think you know, there's first of all, I don't know truly like why that's happened. I think that one, all off season they're really hard at work trying to figure out how to incorporate all these pieces.
Yeah,
so it makes sense going into week one. You're going to try all these new different motions and things like that. And there's probably things that worked well that they liked, and there's probably things that they didn't like and they took it out. I think they're missing guys, and whenever you're missing guys, I think you have a tendency as a coach to try and incorporate the new pieces so they feel comfortable and you know, they can play fast, which is something that I don't know that we did see on either side of the ball, which is frustrating. So I think there's probably multiple things, but with between guys being out and trying to like incorporate that, and between trial and error from how the season had gone to that point, they're probably trying to run with the things that they think they have the best shot at executing.
The turnovers, it's just, it's so inexplicable.
Yeah.
I guess, can you try to explain it? The numbers are crazy. Like, the Jalen, once upon a time, I thought he was, that was his greatest strength.
Yeah.
Not turning the ball over. And now it feels like his and our offense's greatest weakness. Why is that?
You know, I don't. I think that the turnovers, if you look at them as to how they've happened, the one good sign to me is that they haven't been outside of week one. Week one, yes, there were bad decisions made and poor throws that happened in that game. But since then, I haven't seen that. And those are the ones that are really, like, throwing into bad coverage, throwing balls to guys that don't have any business being thrown that ball. Those are the ones that are really concerning when you're watching, and I don't see that. The ones more recently have been the fumbles, which, like, listen, he's got to put two hands on the ball and have more awareness. Obviously, yeah. The guy runs right by him. You know he's still there, but he's trying to make a play late. But I think that the fumbles are things that it's harder to know how to coach that. It's like, you know, just put two hands on the ball and have better awareness. But he's not throwing the ball, in my opinion, into dangerous areas. Other guys haven't been really turning it over outside of the muff punts, which I don't – that's a whole other thing. I mean,
yeah,
it was a comedy of errors, honestly, in that first game across the board. It was hard, yeah.
All right, Jason Kelce with us. So a lot on the Eagles, obviously, with Jason here. Again, you can join us at Chickies and Pete's. It's a big Phillies pep rally also. It's a 13.5-hour broadcast. Now, we're four of those 13.5 hours, but the station will be doing all the shows all the way through 7:30 tonight. You can join us, of course, on the phone lines also, 215-592-9494. From this Red October Chickies and Pete's pep rally, let me tell you, you can enjoy the new Kelce combo at Chickies, crafted by Jason. It includes craft fries,
crafted by you,
a barbecue burger, and garage beer. Tell us about that, Jason.
That's great, Jason.
That sounds like good stuff right there.
I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Pete always offered the back of this establishment up to former players or families, current players after games, and
were you supposed to say that on the air?
I don't know, but I just did. Am I allowed to say that, Pete?
Now it's going to get flooded. And now Pete's going to need 37 new security guards on Sundays at 5 o'clock.
But, we've always grown up, whenever my family's in town or whenever, which was a lot early on in my career especially, and then we would go to the back and, you know, you'd hang out after the games. And it'd be a place for all the guys to kind of, you know, decongest from this intense matchup that you've been waiting for all week, and you just got done pouring it all on the field, and you get to go back there, eat some food, hang out with everybody. That's where I first met Ava, actually. And
shocking in a bar.
And I used to love the barbecue burger and the crab fries, so it felt like the right thing to combine here.
I love it. Well, we love it at WIP, obviously, our association with Cheekies and Pete's. I mean, Pete's awesome, and it's just an amazing establishment. Be here all through October for just, you know, every television you can imagine. It's going to be tuned to the Phils, and you can join us right now on the phone lines and be here over the next many hours as we as WIP broadcast from here. Reminder, station announcement coming up in about an hour. 8:40 today, station announcement, which will include a special guest joining us on set in an hour. Let's go to the phones. Gary in Whitehall right now. Rob Thompson with us in 15 minutes. Good morning, Gary.
Morning, everybody. How we doing today?
Doing great, Gary.
Excited, Gary. We got playoff baseball in 2 days. Oh, and by the way, the Eagles can't lose. The Eagles actually can't lose this week.
And it's Red October, Joe. It's Red October. Yes. And, I kind of agree with what you said, Joe, about how Tom Rick was explaining with Sanchez and Noah going through the stats. And, the home ERA compared to the road ERA with Sanchez. But I... You know how Topper is with his analytics. You know, righty-lefty is actually probably the way to go.
Well, here's the problem with that. I think Aaron Nola is better. And I want Aaron Nola to start more in October than Christopher Sanchez. So my inclination is Nola, but I know people have been very split on this, and I know that based on what Rob Thompson said yesterday, while he didn't declare it, it sure sounded like it's going to be Christopher Sanchez, and maybe in 15 minutes when he joins us on the show, we'll find out it is. But, I mean, Gary, I worry less about splitting righty and lefties. I worry more about having the best pitcher pitch the most often. That's just
I agree with you.
But Gary, I will say there's a great argument. There is a great argument not only for Sanchez at home getting the second start, but for Nola, particularly if it's a hostile environment, like I was going to say Shea. What is it? City Field?
Wasn't City Field.
Like, that's, you know, do I trust? Like, let me put it this way. I trust Aaron Nola more in game two, and I trust Aaron Nola more in game three.
So it's just a matter of
which way do you want to split
Absolutely.
It up. He only gets one of the two
starts.
Wasn't
Christopher Sanchez's last start at home?
It was.
And it wasn't good.
It wasn't great.
Christopher Sanchez is a small sample size, and he's been outstanding in that small sample size. But, man, we know who Aaron Nola is, and I would rather have that guy pitch four games for us in the postseason.
Okay,
it's close, but I'm tipping my hat to Aaron Nola.
I am too, but, Gary, I will give you another pro-Sanchez argument. We didn't know who Aaron Nola in October was until we saw him get a true, real start 2 years ago in October, and he shined, and he shined again, and he shined again. I mean, there's an argument that Christopher Sanchez, who's younger, and this year was largely better, that this is actually just his time to step into that. I mean, that happens in sports. I mean, just because David Cone was the Yankees' main starter in 1996 doesn't mean he's their main starter in 1999. You know, there's a passing of the torch in sports. Maybe it is Christopher Sanchez's time.
Roger Clemens comes along. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right, Gary, give me an answer. What's red, my man?
Oh, either way, I don't care. Go Phillies.
Great answer.
That's great. All right, let's listen to Dave Dombrowski. Ben, I want to get your assessment of what Dombo said here. This was a couple days ago, I think, maybe 2 days ago. So Dave Dombrowski talked recently about what could be different this year comparative to the last 2 years when they went on great runs but ultimately came up short in the end. Here's Dombrowski recently on a potential difference.
What's weighed more heavily in the decision on the starting pitchers, the second starter?
James, Joe, cut that off. We'll get to that in a moment. We'll get that audio situated. In the meantime, let's go to the phones. Jason Kelsey with us also. Let's talk to Glenn in Center City. Good morning, Glenn.
Let me tell you guys something. You did you see the movie Aliens?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great movie.
You know all the Marine Corps people that was in that movie, Hicks, all them guys.
Yeah, Bill Paxton, Crusher.
They all just left my house.
Where are we going? Where are we going?
Good question, Jason.
Glenn, you got Jason asking you, where are we going here?
Let me tell you something.
All right.
I'm sleeping in bed listening to WIP at 6 in the morning. They're banging on my door. Boom, 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 boom. Open the door. Open the door. Man, open the door. It's like 18 cops, guns drawn and everything. I'm like, oh, my God. Am I going to be a statistic this morning?
Yeah, I'm confused. Are you saying you think there's too much Philly? Hold up, Glenn. Hang on. Are you saying you think there's too much Philly's worry in the air? I'm just trying to understand what you're saying here.
I don't know, bro, but all I know is they wasn't looking for me. They was looking for one of my ex-girlfriends.
All right, Glenn. We appreciate the call. 215.
So that was a real story.
I'm here to talk Red October. If you're not going to make the point, what's
wow.
the point? Let's, all right. So let's listen to Dombrowski. Here's Dave Dombrowski.
Nice little segue.
Good luck with that, though. Good luck sorting that.
Here is Dombrowski this week about what could be different this year.
In your opinion, what really separates this team between the 22 and 2023 iterations that's going to fuel this team to potentially win their first World Series in 2000?
Well, I mean, one thing you could say, I do think we're even a little deeper than we've been in the past. That's one thing. Secondly, I think that our bullpen's better, deeper. I think we have a good 4 starting pitchers now, for sure. And I do think that the experience can be beneficial to you, too, but only to an extent. I mean, you still have to go out there and have to do it. But I think all those factors can come into play. And it's just, you know, you're talking about a little bit that can make a difference.
You know, Ben, I know you said earlier you're really confident in this team. I mean, this is the best Phillies team they've had the last 3 years, which also means it's the best Phillies team they've had since 2011.
Yeah, they are deeper, and the bullpen is better, and that really shortens the game. So if you have a guy that's starting pitching, with the exception of, I'm going to say, Wheeler, who let him go as long as he can, you can shorten that game. And these guys have not been used a whole lot because the starting pitching has been so good throughout the course of the season. They've been going deeper in the ball games. They're saving the bullpen. These guys are fresh going in October, and that's a big deal. Yeah. That is a big deal.
Well, so listen, it does help, and the starting pitching is the main thing, but there are decisions to make. Ben, let's get you on the record on some of these key decisions and what they should be. So our Twitter poll yesterday, we had 3 different polls. Game 2 starter, Nola or Sanchez. Nola got 55% of the vote, Sanchez 45%. Which should you go with?
I'd go with Sanchez.
And give me the quick why.
Because it's simple home and away records. He's got a 5 on the road ERA. He's got a 2 at home.
Yep.
Those numbers speak volumes.
All right, second question from yesterday. Who should be the second baseman against left-handed pitchers? 56% said Bryson Stott. 44% said Edmundo Sosa.
Sosa. He's got an 861 OPS against lefties. Stott has a 595. That's drastic.
That is drastic. Third question from yesterday. Center field against a left-handed starter.
Marsh
against the lefty.
Marsh.
Even if he's probably going to go 0 for 4 or 1 for 4 at best.
He gives you a better chance offensively. I'm sorry. And if you have a
lead. But Johan Rojas makes that one play that could change the game.
Like that Braves game where he made that play.
I'll take my chances.
But he also can go over like.
Marsh is no slouch in center field.
But he's a slouch against lefty hitters.
As the season went on, he got better against lefties. Not great, but it gives you a better chance. I'm sorry. It's just the way I feel.
Would you defensive replace late with him?
Yeah, absolutely I would, yes.
All right, Ben,
would you wet your hair?
Would I wet my hair?
I like Brandon Marsh.
Absolutely not.
Ben, do you buy my theory that Kyle Schwarber as a left fielder should be on the table if the outfielders are struggling? I'm telling you right now, if there's a righty pitcher and I've got struggling outfielders, I'm putting Marsh in center and Schwarber in left, and I'm not thinking twice with it, and I've got a Sosa or a Clemens or a Weston Wilson DHing, so I don't have Rojas and I don't have Austin Hayes if he's struggling.
No, I would not put Schwarber out in left.
I don't like it.
You're insane.
Well, let's just remember,
that's
guys,
a great interruption.
They got further in the playoffs with Schwarber as their left fielder than Schwarber not as their left fielder.
It had nothing to do with him defensively.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what it had to do with. You didn't have an 0 for 4 in center field. You didn't have an 0 for 4 in left field.
We'll see what happens.
All right, we will. All right, 215-592-9494. Rob Thompson with us in 10 minutes. Jason, you looking forward to the next month to watching all this? I mean, you know how it gets.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to watching it, being in the city, being a part of it. This is, like I said, playoff baseball, this city. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be, the atmosphere is going to be incredible. I don't know that, I haven't been a lot of other places in the postseason, but this place is really special.
You know, Jason, did you like baseball when you were a kid?
Did you play
it a lot?
Well, I played it up until, I actually ripped the growth plate off my elbow pitching when I was younger.
Ooh, and goodness, that's like pretty nasty.
Yeah.
So is that arm, like, smaller?
No, it's the same size, but whenever I get, like, an x-ray or an MRI, they're like, hey, you know you got, like, this, the part of your bone sticks off.
Like, you have an arm deformity.
I do. And wow. I was actually very good at baseball before.
I can tell
that.
Now.
And
that, now that I know that, I can tell.
Does one arm look shorter than the other, John?
Yeah, totally.
I'll never look at you the same way.
Grotesque.
Yeah. Grotesque. Nice. FX special.
Nope. I see what you did there. Hey-o.
There you go. I mean, maybe it was.
All right, Rob Thompson with us in 5 minutes. Jason Kelsey here now. We're at Chickies and Pete, South Philly. Come on by. Let's go to JB. He's calling from Chestnut Hill. Good morning, JB.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to the panel there, Jason.
Thank you.
John.
What's up, JB?
Normally, I give you, like, a fun fact, and I just had to, like, rack my brain for Cleveland stuff now because of that. Jason there, do you know the traffic light was invented in Cleveland?
How about that?
Wow.
No.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Also,
what year was that?
I think the guy's name was Garrett something. It was, like, 1912. It was, like, the first working traffic signal. He gets credit to it.
Wow. All right, that JB, give me what you – JB, give me – hey, JB, talk Phillies or Eagles with me. What do you got?
Yeah, so you got to – I was just going to jump in about what you were talking about, the platoon players in the outfield. Yeah. I mean, you can't – I mean – Schwarber's such a defensive liability. You can't take that chance of having him in left.
But JB, is he more of a defensive liability than Rojas is an offensive liability? Now I want you to really think about that.
Okay, so the way I think about it is he's still in the lineup as the DH, so we get his offensive ability and we get Rojas' defensive ability. So that's
all right, good question. I will phrase the question then this way.
Okay.
Is Schwarber's defense plus a Weston Wilson or Cody Clemens at bat, four at bats, better than Rojas offensively?
I think you got to use lean Rojas because you can use his speed on the bases.
But what if he never gets on base? I mean, JB, don't you remember? Look, I'm not saying it's impossible for him to get on base. I'm telling you this. I would go with Rojas in the first opportunity against a left-handed pitcher over Marsh. Right. But I am telling you, and we will talk to Rob Thompson about this in like 5 minutes. If guys are struggling this October, I need quick changes. Not I'm going to wait 9 games. Not I'm going to wait till next year. I need decisions in the moment. This is an opportunity to win a world.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. the MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Series.
Joe, I think those changes that you're talking about are so niche that it really doesn't... If we're worried that much of a difference between Rojas and the defensive liability of Schwarber in the outfield, there's a lot of big...
I'm going to say, and Jason knows this better than anybody here, and John Ritchie knows this as a player as well. There is an incredibly thin margin in most instances between a team that wins a championship and doesn't. You can't come closer than the 22 Eagles did. And by the way, let's not kid ourselves. If the Eagles don't convert on 4th-and-1 with 5 minutes to go in the 2017 Super Bowl, the Eagles probably lose the game.
Yeah.
Like, these things come down to inches. They come down to decisions. Like, what? I mean, there was a moment John Starks one time took a shot. If it goes in, Patrick Ewing's a champion. You know what happened?
Baseball, Hakeem blocked the ball.
No, with baseball, we saw it 2 years ago in the World Series. If Chaz McCormick doesn't make that catch in center field, the Phillies probably win game 5, and they're heading back to Houston up 3-2.
I mean, JB, that's why it's so critical Rob Thompson get it right. Ultimately, the players got to play, and they got to play well, but...
Yeah.
I'm not trying to jump on you here, man. I'm just saying, I care about this
stuff. You're beating up the table, though, a lot over there.
All right, JB, give me an answer here. For the tickets to Dane Cook, what's red?
How about Dorothy's red flippers?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Ooh, good one.
That is good. That is a good answer. So, Jason, can you describe from your vantage point, looking at 2017 and 2022, the thin line of difference between winning and losing?
I mean, obviously, you just pointed out really nicely with the fourth down calls. But, you know, in football, there's generally 2 to 3 plays that really end up determining who wins and loses a game. I mean, they all matter. But when you look back on it, there's like 2 or 3 instances where it's like, man, that if we just would have did that, we would have probably won that game. And in 2022, we had those two. I mean, it was a close game. Both of them were just like offensive juggernauts of games where not a lot of defensive play. Very exciting to watch and play in as an offensive player. But, I think it's hard. And generally, the team that makes – the fewer mistakes in the clutch moments end up winning games. And everybody, you know, Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes, one of the reasons that they continue to win, one of the reasons they're 4-0 is because in critical moments, they don't make mistakes. And people can talk about how the officials are on their side and talk about how they have all these advantages and the league wants them to win. And that might be true. But I think what's more true is that, you know, Pat Mahomes and these guys really, when it matters most, operate and execute at a better level than the opponents. And that's why those quarterbacks and those players get paid and those coaches get paid the kind of contracts they do.
Sure do.
To make those clutch plays when it matters.
All right, well, speaking of when it matters in baseball the most in October. And, of course, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast away from the Taste of Cake studio today. We are at Chickies and Pete's. That's Jason Kelce. He's with us as well. Be with us for another half an hour. And with us for the next couple of minutes, getting ready in 2 days to manage for the 3rd straight year in the postseason. And congratulations to him and his squad on a wonderful regular season. The Philly skipper, Rob Thompson, joining us right now. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Well, it is our pleasure, Rob. Jason knows what it's like to win a championship, and you guys are gunning for it here in the next 30 days or so. So, Rob, let's get into it. How do you feel about your squad ready to go, knowing two cracks the last 2 years, amazing runs, now a third chance? Give us your mindset as you get ready to embark on another Red October.
Yeah, I think I'm really happy with where we're at right now. I mean, I think with the experienced players that we have, and adding in the energy of the younger players and what we've been through in the last couple of years and all the disappointment, I think these guys are geared up. They're ready to go. They can taste it. They can smell it. We had a really energized simulated game, interstellar game, whatever you want to call it, yesterday. Went 8 innings, and they were right into it. And I'm really excited with where we're at.
Good. Well, Rob, let's talk about some of the decisions that go into, you know, what could be a championship or not, and ultimately based on how players play. But you got to make some big decisions here. Yesterday, I was struck by your answer on the Game 2 starter. It sounded to me like you're leaning toward Christopher Sanchez, but you did not declare it. Are you ready to declare now who your Game 2 starter is going to be? And if not, am I right that it's sounds like it's going to be Christopher Sanchez.
Well, you know, I'm not ready to declare it because we still don't know who we're playing. I'm leaning one way, but it could change. But, you know, there's positives, negatives, or whatever you want to call it to both, whether it's Sanchi or Nola going game two. But with Sanchi going game two, it splits up the righties, it splits up the lefties. Sanchez's numbers at home are way different than they are on the road, a lot better. You know that Nola can go anywhere on the planet, and he's going to be comfortable pitching in a hostile environment, wherever that is. But, you know, you've got your two experienced guys. If you go Wheeler number one and Nola number two, and you know, you're banking on both those guys going deep in the games. If you have them back-to-back, you think you got a shot at getting a big lead and taking over a series, but you never know. So we're still working through it. There's a lot of, you know, like I said, there's positives, there's negatives to either way you want to go. And there's arguments on both sides. So we'll see.
Rob, in recent weeks, Castellanos has been the primary cleanup hitter. In recent years, he, JT, and Boehm have all gotten extensive time behind Bryce at number four. Is it going to be Castellanos out of the gate, backing up Bryce as the cleanup hitter?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm kind of leaning that way right now. I mean, he's been very productive. He had great at bats yesterday in our same game and hit a home run. And he's just been locked in all year. You know, plays kind of 62 games. And as the season wore on, he just got better. I'm really happy for him. I'm really proud of him. He's controlling his strikes a lot better. He has a lot less movement in the box. He's just had really, really good at bats.
Rob, what's the biggest managing lesson that you learned the first two postseasons, first two postseason go-rounds that'll make the difference the third time?
Well, I don't know. You know, they're all well-documented things that happen. Bullpen usage, staying with guys too long, taking guys out too early. I mean, anything that goes wrong is going to be, you know, talked about. But I think you have to do what your heart tells you to do, what you feel. You know, pitch hitting earlier in the game, I think, is one thing that we do. Of course, I feel like we have some depth sitting on the bench. Those final two spots haven't been decided yet, but I think it's going to be, one's going to be a right-hand hitter, one's going to be a left-hand hitter, and I have a lot of confidence in all those guys that we're choosing from. So, I think that's something that you could see moving into the postseason. Even if you have a lead and we've got runners on base, you might take, you know, an elite defender out just to add on.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are things that are have constantly gone through my mind in the last couple of years. Okay, what can we do better? What decisions did we make that were wrong? Or maybe we made some decisions that happened to play out in our favor, but they were still wrong in my mind, you know? So
sure.
There's always a postmortem on every game, on every season, and you love them.
So we've seen the team hot and cold this year. We saw the team last year in the postseason go cold. What can you do to counter the cold?
That's a good question. Because every team seems to go through it. And yeah. I think, you know, with our guys, I think the experience of the last two postseasons is going to help. You know, you know, you look at our season this year, we lose the first two series of the season, and then we went 16 straight where we didn't lose a series, and that's hard to do. And, you know, you get into, I think it was June, it was July, the end of June, 1st of July, and we lose six in a row. So there's, I always talk about the ebbs and flows of the season, and you just got to ride it out. You just got to, you know, stay with who you are and continue to be who you are. Try not to do too much. Try not to put the team on your shoulders and pass the baton. And I always talk to our players about getting lost in the team. If you're struggling to play, if you're struggling on the mound, do some little things that can help the club and just sort of get lost in the team. Because everybody goes through it at some point.
Rob Thompson with us here on WIP. Of course, getting ready to manage in 2 days. It'll be game one of the NLDS against either the Mets or Brewers at Citizens Bank Park and here on WIP. Rob, let's talk about Johan Rojas. Last year, he struggled big time at the plate in October. Do you feel he is ready for this October to be different?
Yeah, the one thing that he's done this year that and we harped on him, worked on it a lot, he's gotten a lot better, is that when he's in a lineup, is to chew up pitches in that ninth spot, to bunt people over, hit a nice safety squeeze yesterday, and he's gotten a lot better at it. He's understanding what his role is and how to move runners and how to, as I said, how to chew up pitches to help guys to try and get on base for Schwarber and Turner and Harper. Because when he's on base, he puts a lot of pressure on the other team, and so consequently, those guys tend to get better pitches to hit. But I think he's maturing as a player. He's getting better, and we all know the defense. But that's going to be a tough decision. You know, what's our best lineup? Is it Marsh in the left and Rojas in the center, and then we switch in the fifth inning to get more offense in there, or is it? You start with the offense, whether it's Hicks or whomever, or Hayes, whoever's in left, and Marsh in the center, and then go with the defensive guy away. So those are tough decisions, and I think it'll be on a case-by-case basis, depending on who their pitcher is, what the matchup is, and who our pitcher is. If we got a fly ball guy, maybe it's better to play Rojas from the first inning on. If it's a ground ball guy, strikeout guy, maybe it's better to keep the offense in. So I think those are going to be daily decisions that will be talked about quite a bit.
Oh, they'll be talked. Well, you guys and us here, no question. Rob Thompson here on WIP. So, too, with Chickies and Pete's is Jason Kelsey, Rob, who's co-hosting with us today.
That's right.
How are you?
I'm doing great. It's an honor to talk to you, Skipper. I had a question for you. The postseason in Philadelphia at the bank, I've been fortunate to go watch you guys play the last few times. It's a lot of fun for me, but can you speak to the advantage that atmosphere brings you guys and what you're expecting this postseason from the Philly fans down there at the bank?
Yeah. You know, I coached in New York for a lot of years, and so I've been in a lot of playoff situations and either in New York or on the road. And I've never, ever experienced the excitement, the energy, the passion that our fan base brings us. And it's incredible. And I tell the story a lot. And after 22, the season's over, and I'm talking to one of the coaches from another club that we had played here. And I said, we're just talking about the playoffs and the decisions and things like that. And so what was it like for you guys to commit to the bank and play? And he said, it really affected our club. It really affected our players. And he said it was 4 hours of hell for them because they were just intimidated by it. And I can see it because it is from introductions all the way to the last pitch. They're standing, they're cheering. There's no letdown. They're just incredible. It really energizes our guys.
Rob, let me ask you this, and we'll wrap on this. So much talk, and you've touched on this in this discussion today, but I just want to drill down on this. Is your mindset that if certain players are struggling, not Bryce Harper, but certain players, that you will make alterations quicker this October, changing the lineup or taking guys out of the lineup entirely if need be? Is your mindset to do it sooner this year than past years?
I think I'd stay away from our experienced guys because they've been there before and they know how to make adjustments. But some of our younger guys, absolutely. I think that we have to have more conversations with the coaching staff as to, how a guy's gone, how he's feeling mentally, how he's feeling physically, what the matchups are. But, I think that, and especially pinch hitting within a game, I think that, that's something that we might move on a little bit quicker.
Well, Rob, we wish you, and I know I normally don't talk on behalf of others, but right now I'm talking on behalf of like 5 to 10 million. We wish you the best of luck. Go get it. I mean, the city is just – are people at Chickies and Pete's excited for Red October here?
Woo!
Yeah,
baby.
Woo! Rob, go get it, my man, and good luck to you. Thanks so much for being a big part of the show. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
All right, there he is, Phillies manager.
No pressure. Just Rob's about 5 million people are kind of looking forward to a good run, Rob. Go get them, big fella.
Our hopes and dreams are on your shoulders. No big deal.
I love it. All right, more with Jason up ahead, plus a station announcement at 8:40 today and a special guest at that time. A big hour going on for a big week, for a big month. And let's hope a big year where we can look back like we do with 2017 and say, that's the year a championship happened, even though that was February 2018. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP.
Hey, devoted football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first down touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Place a first touchdown score wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.